Now, this morning, we do have a split sermon format. So for the first message, Mr. Jeff Richards, who serves in the Bend area here.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm really looking forward to today. I hope everyone here is well. Last night, we had a really nice evening. We were over at Ben and Shannon Light's place, and he gets a call, and it's Mike Imes. Mike Imes, who has the other split today, and Ben just happens to be the alternate split sermon person. Has to be on deck. And little did any of us know that Mike was going to prank him. He said, by the way, I don't think I'm going to make it tomorrow. So I'm listening to the other side of this conversation. And it's going something like, so what happened? You got in a bike crash? And you can hear he's trying to be, you know, consoling, but yet he's getting nervous at the same time. He says, so were you hurt? And so I just butted in and said, well, what's he wearing, a dress? Tell him to walk it off. So, but then we found out he was just pranking, and Ben was very relieved. Today we gather, not just at the Feast of Tabernacles, not just on Family Day, but members of God's family on Family Day. The theme of today is a family reunion. It invokes everything that is right about this day, as God would see it. God has a family, and we are celebrating that family here and our part in it. Now, each of us have our own physical family, and some of those families are great. Some of those families are big. Some of those families are here today, and they're here together. Others, they don't have big families. They might not have great families. They might even have terrible families. But we are all here to become members of a new family. Whether our family is good or bad, we have a new family to be members of. I never grew up in the church with family in the church, just my immediate family, that was it. Luckily, I married into a large family, and a lot of them are in the church, so I've got to experience that later. But you know, there are things you can say to members of your family that you can't just say to anyone. You might say, well, duh. You know, you can't go up to a stranger and say, you're going to go out there walking around looking like that? You can say that to family. But you can't say that to strangers. I had an experience going to a family reunion on my wife's side. And let me tell you, the Cole family is a big family. So we're at this place, and there are so many people here I never met. I got a chance to meet a nephew and his family that I'd never met before. And just in a little bit of small talk, I found out that he likes football, likes to play football. So I just happened to see a football lying there on the ground. I picked it up and said, hey, you want to play catch? I'd only known him for a very short time. I wouldn't do that to somebody I walked up on the street and said, hey, let's go play catch. But family, you can do that. Family is expected that you are at home, that you can say things, that you can share things that you couldn't do to just strangers or even just acquaintances. So as we begin Family Day this year, I want you to all know that we work really hard to bring activities together that we can all participate in as family. Now, some of you might think, well, family is something that is really for those people that have kids or a lot of aunts and uncles or cousins. Turn over to Romans 8. When I say whole family, I mean the whole family of God. Let's see what it says here in Romans 8. We are all a part of God's family, as we read in Romans 8, starting in verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's what binds us together, is God's Spirit. That's what makes us family. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. God constantly uses terms of family to describe the relationships between him and his people. Expositor's Bible commentary says of this phrase, spirit of adoption, says it's a new title given to the Spirit, namely, the Spirit who makes you sons. The Spirit who makes you sons. There's another phrase I'd like to pick up on here, and it's the phrase, Abba, Father. It's in three different places in our Bibles. You know, a lot of people make a lot of this word. They'll say it means daddy. Other research places will say, no, it doesn't really mean that. It means something else. But when you look at the three places where this is, it's very clear that this is a very personal address to God. It's very personal, very close. I'd like to hold our place in Romans here in 8, and let's turn over to the other two places where we find this phrase, Abba, Father. First of all, Galatians 4 and verse 6. Again, we hear this family relationship being talked about when this phrase is used. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Again, sons crying out to their dad. It invokes this imagery of a child crying out for a parent. It's very personal. The third place, we see this in Mark 14, verse 36, this idea of a child crying out for its parent. It's Christ on the last day on earth before he was arrested. He's having a tough time. Stress is pretty tough at this point. He's anticipating what's about to come. And he's praying, and he uses this term in Mark 14, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. I mean, this is the height of the stress of his life. And he could have cried out for help to anyone. He chose God, of course. But what term did he use when he cried out for God? The supreme being of the universe? The Theos? Maybe his Lord, his master. Nope. He went with Father, his dad. He needed help. He needed strength. And he goes to the family because that's what family is. It's about strength. It's about connection. It's about love. Going back to Romans 8 and reading further, we see how this personal relationship applies to God's family. Paul is telling us here in Romans 8 how personal this family relationship is to God. He takes this very seriously when he calls us his children. Verse 16 of Romans 8 continues this thought. I'm going to read this from the King James Version because it renders a pronoun for the Spirit correctly. And we read, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Here Paul lays it all out. We are joint heirs with Christ. It's easy to put Christ on a pedestal for what he went through and the life that he led. And we know that he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will reign with him. But we're not just there to help. We are joint heirs with him. Everything will be given to him at his feet as part of his inheritance. And we will be joint heirs with him. It's hard to wrap our brains around that. When God calls us, we become family. You want proof? Turn over to Luke 8. And we'll start reading in verse 20. The title for the sermon today is, My Brother, or My Mother and My Brothers Are These. It comes from this passage in Luke 8. Here Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and as he travels around, he got quite a crowd. And people would come and to be taught by him. And they would grow, and they would become this new community. And at one of these gatherings, his mother and his brothers arrived, and they wanted some of his attention. We pick it up here in Luke 8, verse 20. And it was told to him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now, Christ had a good family. But he was looking at God's family, the bigger family, the more important family. This family of believers that we are part of is so much more important than the families that we have here on earth, even if they're great families, and I hope they are. I hope you get opportunities to have family reunions, to have Thanksgiving dinners, to have everybody around the table. And I hope you have all those wonderful experiences. But we've been called into a family that is so much bigger and so much more important. It's the focus of this day, family. You know, I've been a part of Family Day for a number of years, and we've struggled trying to find activities that would please everyone. And last year, we actually had to make a plea to get more people to come because it just, there wasn't very many people that had intended to go. And I talked to a number of people who didn't go, and they said, "Well, you know, I did the maze last year, and, you know, standing out in the hot sun waiting for my turn at the pumpkin cannon was, you know, kind of long, and I kind of wanted to do some other things. You know, like I said, I did that last year, and I want to do something else this year." The problem is, when you think about all the problems with Family Day, these people were right. They didn't feel really a part of it. Maybe they didn't have kids, and they thought, well, this is really more about families and children. And we tried to make it for as many people in as broad a range as possible. But what was missing from Family Day wasn't newer and exciting activities, because let's face it, we will never do as well as Disneyland or any of the amusement parks that are out there. We're never going to be able to entertain the way that the billions of dollars in this world are able to do. What's missing from Family Day is the approach. It's the focus. Picture this. It's Thanksgiving coming up. You're planning this big day together. You call your family up and you say, "Come on over for Thanksgiving. We'd like you all to be there." And your dad picks up the phone and says, "Well, we'll come unless you're going to have turkey again. We had turkey last year." Thanksgiving is not about the turkey. Turkey has a huge role in Thanksgiving. Everybody knows that. But nobody comes for the turkey. They come for family. They come for thankfulness. They come to be together. Those are perfect reasons to come to Family Day. The activities are varied and hopefully appeal to everyone, but the reason we're going is because we want to be a part of family. I think about going to that family reunion with my wife's family. There was softball set up. There was some volleyball set up. There was food everywhere. There was a lot of activities. Nobody went for those activities. They went for family. If we would have just shown up in the parking lot and stood there, it would have been enough. The activities add to it. It makes it more special. If you have fun today doing some of the activities, that should be a bonus, not the goal. The goal is to get to know everybody here. Going down in Romans 8 a little further to verse 29, we read, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We use that term a lot, brethren. It's a good church word. What does it mean? What does brethren mean? The Lonida lexicon uses the word kinship to describe this word. Family. Brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins. Or as they say in the South, kin. We're all kin. That's what brethren means. That's what we've been called to become. Family. You know, when my folks came into the church when I was 10, we had no other relatives in our family. And those first few feasts were rough. I remember going to a feast site, this is an exciting place, 8,000 people in the room. Felt pretty lonely. I knew nobody. There was no family to embrace you. You were just alone. And you'd come into this big, huge room full of people, and you sit by yourself. Maybe somebody would come by and talk to you. It's rough when you don't have family. Recently, 53 men in Oregon churches here got together to have a men's weekend, and we talked about God's role for each one of us as men in these perilous times. And family became this theme that was talked about over and over again. How each of us were shaped by our family, either positively or negatively. And for some who didn't have fathers, they talked about mentors that stepped in, people that said, I need to fill a gap here. This person needs family, and how important it was. And some said the mentors that they had in their life were more important than their own father. Because we can become family, and we can become better than somebody's natural family if we have the love of God in us. We love because God, our Father, first loved us. So that's where we come in, to become family. Now, I know somebody here that had a big family when they came into the church. And the feast was all about big families. Had over 20 people in his family in the church. And you come to the feast every year and you knew where you were sitting in this two or three rows of family. But over the years, a lot of people have left, as we know. They have just given up. And he looks at his family and they're all gone. He has his immediate family now. Everyone in his family that he came into the church with are gone. And he's doing something about it. He's building a new family. Guess where he's looking? Right here. He wants this group of people to be his new family. So that when he comes to the feast, he's embraced by loving family members. You know, I'd like to talk about another story here. If you want to turn over to Ruth 1. Story of family. Somebody who had the desire to create a brand new family. And the attitude that God appreciates from this story and what he wants us to learn from it. If you turn over to Ruth. It's a story of an Ephraimite family living in Bethlehem that because of famine had to move to Moab to survive. Naomi, her husband, and her two sons go to live in this foreign land. Then Naomi's husband dies, and her two sons take wives for the daughters of Moab. They live here for about 10 years. Make the best out of life. Then her sons die. And it's just her and her two daughter-in-laws. And she realizes her daughter-in-laws are too young to live the rest of their life as widows. So Naomi tells them, go back to your family. Go back to your gods. Go back to your kinsmen. And just be a part of them. And start all over again. And don't worry about me. One of them does. The story in Ruth 1, verse 16, picks up the other one. The other daughter-in-law, Ruth. And her attitude toward this situation. And in Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17 says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth wanted a new family. A new family was way more important to her than her old. Is that what we all want? To be part of a much better family, even if you have a great family? I hope so. Do we have this determination to start over and to build a perfect family? My friend has. And he and his wife recently started a new feast tradition. Rather than get together with the same people you spend all their time with, they decided to make some invitations up and start handing them out to people they don't know. People they'd like to get to know, maybe people who look lonely, who maybe not has anyone around them. Say, you know, Here's somebody who needs family just as bad as we do. And he hands out these invitations way more than they could probably ever hold in their house because he knows not everyone will come because, let's face it, people are apprehensive about getting to know new people. It can be rough. You have to kind of expose yourself and you have to do some uncomfortable things of sharing that's hard to do when you don't know someone. So they send out these invitations and they cast this wide net, kind of like a fisherman throwing out this big net, and they see who comes. And whether they have five people or three people or 20 people, they work to become family. It's a wonderful tradition. It has so much more meaning than just saying, I got to go here and I got to do that. Building family is what God is all about. I mean, we talk about the end time and the great tribulation and ruling with Christ and all of these things. They're meaningless unless there's family. God is not doing this for himself. He's not creating this giant plan with all of these wonderful events that are going to happen just so that he and his son can live there by themselves. Turn over to Galatians 4. God wants to share all that he has with us. Galatians 4 talks about this process. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. You can follow along if you like. I'm going to read it in the New Living because I think it says it so personally and conveys this concept so much more to me, at least, than any other version. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, then those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son to your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Imagine that. Capture that vision. Everything God has belongs to us. It might seem strange, because there's so few of us, that God's giving everything to so few of us. But families start that way. A mom and a dad, a couple children, and then before you know it, there's grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and the family grows and it grows like a mustard seed. God's building a family, and yes, it's starting slow, it's starting small. But we know, because of the holy days we keep and because of the truth God has given us, that one day everyone who has ever lived, even those that have died thousands of years ago, never hearing the name of God, will one day be raised up and given the chance to know him and become members of that family. Those people that are outside today that will live their lives and die and never know the Church of God exists will one day have that opportunity that we have to become members of that family. John 3 says it this way. First John 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed to us what we should be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Hopefully we understand that to purify ourselves is this process of becoming like him, that our character grows and becomes more and more like our Father. Chip off the old block. Some of you may have an invitation already. to go to this new family reunion that my friend is putting together with his wife. I'm not going to tell you who he is and his wife for two reasons. First of all, they don't want people to come just because it was mentioned in a sermon. They want people to be there because they want to be family. Just naturally accept, yeah, I would like to come. I would like to get to know someone. The second reason is, it would be nice for someone else to say, you know what, we could do the same thing. We're always trying to get together at the feast, and our schedules never match, and our friends are doing something on this day, and we're doing something on that day. Pick a day that you've got free. And rather than sulk in your room, invite a few people over if you have the opportunity. And if you don't, go out somewhere. Do something together. Try to build a family with everyone here. Try to become one family. I think of these vision of the drops of oil in the water. And as it starts off, there's all these individual drops, and they just float on top of the water. And as you watch it, the drops of oil will connect together and become bigger drops. And if you just sit there and watch, eventually all of those drops will become one big oil drop. That's what God wants from all of us, to become one with each other and one with Him. So if you decide to invite some people over, or decide to go out with someone, or even just decide who in here needs family, who should you talk to? Here's some guidelines. Let's turn over to Scripture for a clue. Let's turn over to Psalm 145 and verse 9. Oh, excuse me, 146 and verse 9. Psalm 146 and verse 9. Psalm 146 and verse 9 starts this way. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. If you do a search in your Bible for strangers, fatherless, widows, you find that this is a big deal to God. This is a mission that He has, that He looks after these people. He looks after the weak. He looks after the tired. He looks after those that need others. And if you want to know what God wants, look for those people that sit by themselves. You remember a time that you visited another church area. You didn't know anybody there. And maybe you were greeted warmly, and that's great. But at some point you sit down and you don't know anyone. No one knows you. And so you just sort of sit there. It's rough to come over to somebody who's new and try to get to know them. It's hard to open up. But that's what God wants us to do. God is focusing on those who are alone, without family. James 1:27 puts it this way. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Instead of going after the friendships that we have, friendships are great. Let's build them up. But let's look for those among us. It just hasn't quite connected with anyone yet. They want to. They just haven't. Maybe you're a little more outgoing than someone else, and you take the time to bridge that and sit down and get to know somebody. If you don't have an opportunity to get together with someone, we have Family Day today. You can get to know people there. You can just sit down with somebody who's just maybe taking a break. Maybe a little tired, just sitting down and resting. The last scripture I'm going to read today is in Hebrews 2. I'm going to read it in the New Living as well. You can follow along if you like. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 14. Starts off talking about the sacrifice of Christ and what He's done for us to allow us to be a part of this family. And then in verse 10, it says, "And it was only right that God, who made everything and for whom everything was made, should bring as many children into glory through the suffering of Jesus, God made him a perfect leader, one fit to bring them into salvation. So now Jesus and the ones who he makes holy have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will declare the wonder of your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among all the people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. And in the same context, he said, here I am, together with the children of God has given me. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood. Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Today we will have plenty of opportunities to get to know each other. I hope we take them. There'll be people serving at the different activity centers, and they're there to get to know you and to help you have the best time possible. Get to know them. Get to know those that are you're participating in these events together with. And I know it's not easy. You know, my mother, who died recently, a few years ago, had this gift. She could talk to somebody and in 5 minutes be family. It was just amazing. After her death, we had to notify a lot of people. And people just, they were so moved by her. People that, really? I mean, these are people at the mail center, the people who deliver paper, people at the grocery store, at the bank, at the utility companies. They all knew her, not just by a customer number. The neighbors all called her mom. She had this gift to be able to share her life with others. My sister got, I think, the lion's share of that gift, and my brother to some extent. For me, it's always been rough to really open up and to share with others. But I think now that my goal is to become more and more like that example my mom gave to so many people. And when I think about her example, and I think about those words from Luke 8, I'm convinced that it was the perfect title for this sermon. My mother and my brothers are these.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. If you'd all please rise now, and we will turn for our fourth song to page number 173. Page number 173. Rejoice, Lord is King, during the time when Jesus Christ will be here as King, ruling over all the earth. Page 173. We'll give time for the ensemble here to get their places and their instruments taken care of. Okay.
Thank you.
And now for the announcements, our festival coordinator here, Mr. Larry Walker.
Thank you, and good morning to all of you. I'll be praying about the weather. It was 45 degrees when I was coming in here this morning, and hopefully it'll get up higher than that. It's supposed to be, I think, 65 today, which is probably a pretty good temperature, better than 85, because if it was 85, we'd get dehydrated. So certainly wouldn't want that to happen. I want to say hi to everybody, of course, again today on the Cybercast. But another special person today I want to say hi to, a couple of them, but one of them whom I know a little bit better. We got an email from her, and she said, just wanted you to know your services came through loud and clear today. And she mentions her name here, and I recognize that. Some of you probably do. Do you happen to remember the Norval and Alva Pyle from Big Sandy? Well, this is Alva Pyle. And I probably better be careful what I say about her age. Ladies tend to be a little more sensitive about that. But I would just say I think she may be older than Ken Jackson. So special hi to you, and sorry if I said something out of place there. But she also sends greetings from herself and someone who is a nurse for many years at Ambassador College named Faye Carwile. I didn't know her. Maybe some of you in here do, some of you old-timers. A lot of old-timers here today. So I, you know, just thinking about this day, family is so very special, and I hope we all realize that it's certainly a very fine message to point that out. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, our daughter Lori, she's not here right now today. One of the kids is sick. She's back home there. But when we, shortly after we were married, my wife and I, we were sent to an area where they didn't know anybody. And something that helped them out more than anything else, I believe, to adjust to the church was that there was a couple there that took them in just like grandparents. Because they were living right next door to their biological grandparents. And all of a sudden, we get whisked up, you know, and have to be shipped out to a strange area where nobody knew us and we didn't know them and what have you. And I know that made a big difference in their lives. You know, there's a scripture in Mark that says that any of you who have given up lands or anything or brother, let me see, I think I know where that is. I was thinking of that too, and what a blessing that is from the standpoint of family. That says it's Mark 9 verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time and eternal life." And just look around, you know, this is our family. And certainly a totally appropriate message for this special family day. And I hope we'll all really take that to heart and realize that there are people out there that, just like our kids back then, that maybe need someone to be a surrogate parent, a surrogate sister or brother or aunt or uncle or what have you. And what a wonderful concept that is. And we're very excited about being able to have this special day to devote to family. I do have a few announcements here, one of them pertaining to Family Day I'll get to in a moment. But just a reminder here, a few housekeeping announcements that you can't leave personal property on the chairs to save your seats from one day to the next. That's cheating. If you want to get here early and save a seat, that's fine. But what we have already instructed, we've already been doing this, and just want to let you know that anything that's left on the chairs here after services, I mean, you know, after everybody's left, will be picked up and put over in Lost and Found. So that's just the policy we have, and that kind of helps us all to make sure we do what we're supposed to do, you know. So anyway, that's already taking place, like I said. So once again, we appreciate your cooperation because we all have to work together and make things work out and for everybody and for all concerned. And speaking of Lost and Found, there's a lost cell phone. Someone last night had his cell phone at church. It's a black Verizon older style phone with a black belt clip on it. This is an older style phone here. This is looks like this. It's a museum piece. I said somewhere earlier, you know, the only thing I use it for is making calls, receiving calls, and taking pictures inside my pocket. So anyway, but it works good. So it would be extremely appreciated if it could be returned. So let's pray about that. Ordinarily, when something gets lost at the feast, we pray about it. It gets found. So God knows where it is, and appreciate your prayers. And if you do know where it is, you maybe turn it into the information area. Okay, a reminder on feast cards for those who are not able to make it to the feast. The rest of the feast cards have been put out for signing. So if you didn't get to sign the first group, it's too late now. But the second group is out there. They'll be in place there for 2 days. So be sure and remember that. Also, in back at the information area, every year I bring sermon tapes, cassettes, VHS, CD, and so forth that we have extra. So there's usually a feeding frenzy. I put them in there. If it gets taken away, and that's good, because you might want to have somebody listen to at the feast. You're welcome to take as many as you want. Those will be at the information table there today as well. Just a reminder, there will be an important rehearsal for the teen young adult choir tomorrow, Thursday, 15 minutes after services. I'll leave that up here as a reminder. And family day is today from 2 to 5. There are numerous events for all ages. Some of the activities, I know there's a lot more, so please don't think, well, that doesn't sound like fun, because there's a lot more. Believe me, from just a wide range of things for almost all interests. Bingo will be from 2 to 4 in the South Sister Room over there, and field day events will be from 3 to 4:30 outside in the lawn there. And dinner is scheduled to begin at 4 and run through 6. It's a taco bar, so tickets for the tacos will be needed, and they are required by the staff here. So if you haven't purchased your ticket yet, we're still about 100 people that haven't picked up your ticket. I would recommend you do that after services rather than tonight, because it's going to be a challenge to get everybody through. They said they can get everybody through in 45 minutes. I don't know how they could do 600 people through in 45 minutes, but they know what they're doing. So, but still, it'd be better if you get your tickets in advance. So also be sure to have lunch prior to the activity, because there won't be any lunch concessions. Actually, they're not going to have lunch concessions anymore, except for the last great day. We always have a nice meal between services. But it's one of those use it or lose it things. It really hasn't been that popular, apparently. So the only concessions they're going to have through the remainder of the feast will be breakfast concessions. And those will be good breakfast concessions. And we mentioned that the other day. So make that clear to you as well. And then following the dinner, the family fun show will begin at 7 o'clock. Okay. And for those of you planning to do jam, we're going to try to do that at a time when it's not going to compete with something else. We don't want to take away from the, you know, from the other events of the day. So probably later in the day, I'm thinking maybe after the field day events are over and before we begin dinner, should be some time in there somewhere. Okay, and speaking of the fun show, tonight is the night. The 2012 Ben Family Fun Show will cap off Family Day this evening in this very room from 7 to 9 p.m. And we have a lot of performers. I think Mr. Richards did too good a sell job there, because we've got a lot of acts, and I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Okay, anyway, let's see, where did I leave off? Performers, please check the announcement bulletin board in the lobby to see where you are in the order, and plan to arrive at the Middle Sister between 6 and 6:30 for final preparations. Everyone else, please plan to join us tonight beginning at 6:45 p.m. Please do not arrive earlier so we have time to do sound checks if needed and set up the equipment. So that's the info for tonight. And tomorrow night, we're excited to present a biblical-based theme of As For Me and My House. Please come and join your feast family from 7 to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You don't have to stay until 10, but come join us as long as you can. Feel free to come dressed as your favorite Bible character as you take a journey through time and visit some of the families in the Bible that chose to follow God. So that's a unique concept this year, and so come and see what it's all about, and it's always a very enjoyable occasion as well. Okay, I'm going to ask for the children's choir to start moving up this direction here now, and I'll read a few more festival announcements. I don't know if we're going to catch up on it or not. We've got a bunch more here today, but greetings from Jekyll Island, where 629 people have gathered to worship God and experience a foretaste of His coming kingdom. Attendance has been running 100 above expected. Excellent attitudes, excellent messages, high energy, and mostly sunny weather with intermittent showers. have made the feast thus far inspirational for everyone. From all of us to all of you, may God continue to bless and lead the Feast of Tabernacles in your location. From Johnny Lambert, way over in Estonia. Greetings to our brethren worldwide. Representatives of nine nations have gathered in Estonia to picture the kingdom of God by rejoicing and learning to fear God. We have quickly formed a threefold cord to be woven into God's tapestry. We wish each of you an enjoyable and spiritually rewarding feast. Okay, this didn't belong in there. Let's read a couple more. I mean, we literally are all over the world with the feast, as you know. This one here is from, I think I'll skip that one for now and find out how to pronounce it. Read it tomorrow. This one I do know. This is from Ontario. Although attendance is a little lower than expected, the exuberance of the brethren is not lacked. Our high attendance on the first holy day of 101 opening night services encourage the brethren to remember here at the feast to love and support the family. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Mr. Luker provided us with a heartfelt message on the holy day to keep our focus on the wonderful good news of God's kingdom on earth. Weather has been extremely pleasant with sunshine, temperatures in the mid-60s so far. Wishing every one of the brethren worldwide a wonderful, inspiring, and uplifting remainder of the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, well, it's going to take a little bit of time. Some of them are up here and some of them are yet to come. So I'm glad they're on that side. There'll be a traffic jam trying to get off the stage here. And I have a problem. I'm so tall up here. I sometimes am walking along and I feel a thump down there and look down and, you know. So anyway, we do have, it's always a special day at the feast. We all look forward to this. This is another announcement here. Okay. I'm sure I got the, I thought I had this. All right. Read this too quickly. Teen Young Adult Choir. Just a reminder, there will be an important rehearsal for the, did I read that? I guess I did, and I set it aside. Tomorrow at Thursday, 15 minutes after services. All right. So, where is my announcement for the special music? Da-da-da-da. Play the suspense music here. I put it right at the last. If you saw all the papers I have, well, it's in my blind spot, right here in front of me. Okay. All right. Children's Choir will be singing two pieces, Word of the Lord and Sing Unto the Lord. It'll be conducted by Betty Amy and accompanied by a CD recording. And after that, the second split sermon this morning will be given by Mr. Mike Iams, who is a elder serving in the Spokane church area. He also is the one that's heading up the sound crew this year in technical operations and certainly doing a very fine job. So at this time, the children's choir.